they found her in a chicken coop on a quiet farm outside Girona. No ID. No car. No one on the property knew her. The ledger said unknown female. The grave marker said a number. 6 years passed. A fingerprint match crossed an ocean and gave her back a name. Ainhoa Azaga. 33. From Paraguay. A life that touched Barcelona streets and kitchen shifts. Now tied to a shed behind a farmhouse where she did not live. I walked that shed the first day. Feed bags, buckets, dust that holds prints better than people remember. The door latch worked. The hinges were fine. No forced entry. No sign of a struggle. She wore what thousands wear to work. No phone. No purse. The single mark that drew eyes sat on her forearm. A word in Hebrew script that means success. A promise cut into skin, seen by strangers who guessed at the rest. The guesses were wrong. The early story painted a traveler from the north with a new tattoo and a bad ending. It felt neat. It wasted months. We cut the noise. We held what never lies. Teeth. Prints. Fibers. Chain of custody that does not crack when years go by. In 2025, the system widened enough for one scan to meet another. The hit landed. A number on a grave became a full name on a page. A name answers one question and sharpens the others. How did she reach that lane with no car and no bag? Who was the last person to see her alive? Why did the final steps point to a shed that belonged to someone else? We can follow bus routes, taxi zones, and dirt tracks that do not show on tourist maps. We can call old numbers in ledgers and rosters. We can interview a landlord who writes rent by hand and a manager who remembers sleeves rolled up in summer. We can give her family choices with clear steps and honest timelines. We cannot promise a reason on day one. This story does not chase shadowy villains or fast twists. It holds to the slow weight of facts. It respects a woman who lived, worked, and slipped off paper for a time. It starts with the day a name returned to a grave and moves backward and forward with care. If you want thrills, there are shows for that. If you want the truth, follow the evidence with me. So if you think you've heard it all, you haven't. Hit follow on your favorite platform and leave a comment. The next story might change your mind. Don't miss a single turn. The find in St. Julia. The call came on a Saturday afternoon in early August 2018. A woman was found dead in a small outbuilding used for poultry on a rural property in the Olivar's neighborhood of St. Julia de Ramis, Girona. She had no identification on her. The people who lived on the property did not know her. No one nearby recognized her. There was no vehicle in the area that linked to her. I arrived with local officers, and the first responders stepped back to preserve the scene. The approach was a short track that opened into a farmhouse yard. The outbuilding sat close to the main structure, consistent with a working shed for birds. The door stood open. The air inside was still. The interior was simple, with storage for feed and basic fixtures. She was found hanging. Position, suspension point, and ligature were documented. We did not touch anything before the scene photographer finished the initial sweep. I walked the outside path first. I looked for a parked car on the lane, tire marks, fresh footprints, or drag marks. I noted the line of sight from the lane to the shed. The track soil was hard that week. If a light car had come and gone without turning in, the surface might not hold a clear impression. I checked the ditch line for tossed items. Nothing linked to her turned up there. I spoke to the three residents who lived at the farmhouse. They confirmed they had never seen her before that day. They gave a short account of the discovery. They noticed the open door on a routine pass and checked inside. They called emergency services at once. Their statements were direct and consistent with the timeline recorded by the call center. None of them reported a visitor, delivery, or dispute that day or in the days prior that could explain a stranger on the property. Inside the outbuilding, I confirmed there was no handbag, wallet, phone, or documents on or near her. I checked pockets in view without moving the body. No identity papers. No keys. No transit card. Nothing that gave an easy name. The clothing was noted. The state of the floor and nearby surfaces showed no sign of a struggle in that small space. Entry and exit points were intact. The hinges and latch worked. There were no force marks on the door. We extended a slow circle beyond the building to the lane and to the nearest junction. I asked neighbors who were at home if they had seen a woman on foot, a taxi drop-off, a bicycle, or a car stopped near the farmhouse. The answer was no. The nearest homes did not have security cameras in a position to cover the approach. no one in the area reported a visitor who matched a new face that week. The timeline is narrow. She was found on Saturday afternoon, August 4, 2018. The property was active. A visitor would have stood out. A stranger walking the track would have drawn notice. The residents were clear that they had never seen her before. Those facts frame the case from the first hour. A woman with no identity papers is discovered in a shed used for poultry. The occupants do not know her. No vehicle is found. The scene and the absence of links tell the same story. She came to that place, but nothing around her explains how. I recorded the ambient conditions. Light, temperature, and shadows in the outbuilding can affect how a scene reads. I noted the angle of light through the door. It described a routine afternoon rather than an overnight episode. That does not prove the exact hour of death, but it helps set the window for later work. I checked for signs of recent work in the yard that might have disturbed trace evidence. There were none. We built a short list of immediate tasks. Seal and log the outbuilding. Photograph the approach from the lane to the threshold. Document the interior from the entry and from each corner. Record the position of the ligature and suspension point. Note the floor under the body. Bag and tag any items in the room that are not part of the fixed structure and that could relate to someone arriving from outside. Confirm that none of those items belong to the residence. Confirm that nothing is missing from the home or yard. Confirm that no vehicle on the property is unaccounted for. The lack of a vehicle matters. A property like this often shows clear patterns. Residents park in the same places. Visitors park in view. If a visitor came and left, someone usually notices. If a stranger parked away from the lane and walked in, footprints or scuffs can show the route. We found no pattern that matched a new arrival. That raises the set of possibilities you keep in mind. She could have come on foot from a drop point. She could have used public transport to reach a nearby stop and walked. Someone else could have brought her and left no trace. At this stage, you list options without weight. The scene gives facts. All theories wait. We brief the medical and investigative teams who would take over the next steps. The priority remained the same. Protect the scene. Document what is there. Recover the body with care. Maintain chain of custody on all items. Start identity work. The lack of documents meant we would begin with fingerprints, dental records, and any unique marks on the body. That work happens after removal. It would not be done here. The human part sits in the middle of all that procedure. A woman died alone in a place where she did not live. She left no note that we could see on site. She carried no papers. The people who might have looked for her had no way to know she was here. That is the sharp edge you feel when you step back from the shed door. You close the door. You walk the track again. You look for small things that can carry a name. You do not find them. We finished the exterior canvas before the light dropped. We marked the entry points for the next team. We confirmed who had been inside the outbuilding and in what order. We logged every step against the timeline. We placed a simple notice to keep neighbors from entering the yard. We left an officer on site. The farm residents were calm and cooperative. They gave contact numbers and agreed to be available for follow-up. This first chapter of a case is thin by nature. You collect the known points and the blanks. Known points in this case are clear. Date and time window in the afternoon. Location inside a poultry shed attached to a farmhouse. No identity papers. Residents did not know her. No vehicle linked to her. Those points drive the next steps. They do not give a motive. They do not give a route. They do not give a name. When I locked the outbuilding and signed the log, I wrote one line in my notebook. How did she get here? That question will set our route for the chapters that follow. The answer will not start in a lab. It will start at this door, at this lane, with this absence of links. We will work forward from the shed to the road, from the road to the nearest transport, and from transport to the last person who saw her alive. The first 48 hours. Hour zero started the moment the scene log opened. The shed door stayed sealed while the photographer finished the full sweep. Angles, distances, suspension hardware, knots, floor contact, and clear lines to entry points went into the frame list. A sketcher mirrored each frame with measurements in pencil. Nothing moved until both sets matched. I briefed the recovery team before entry. Removal had one aim: preserve every trace. The ligature came down last. First, close images of fibers at stress points. Then, a lift for any latent ridge detail on smooth surfaces nearby. The body moved into a clean wrap, then into a rigid carrier. Each action went on the log with time and initials. The room stayed sealed for a secondary pass once transport cleared the yard. At the house, a separate team worked statements. Each resident spoke in a different room to reduce crosstalk. Start and end times went on the form. We collected routine details from the past week, visitor patterns, deliveries, repairs, and small irregular events. The focus stayed narrow. Did anyone see a stranger on foot? Did anyone hear a car on the track at an odd hour? Did anyone notice an open door before today? Transport reached the institute at early evening. Intake began on a stainless table under fixed lights. The pathologist led the external exam. Clothing came off in layers over clean paper. Each layer went into a separate bag, paper not plastic, to avoid moisture buildup. A reader spoke item names and positions, while a scribe typed entries live. Buttons, seams, hems, and pockets got microvacuum passes for trace. Loose debris moved into bindles with clear labels. Hands received priority. Palms and fingertips were photographed before any cleaning. Nail edges got clippings and debris scoops for later DNA and particulate review. Wrists, forearms, neck, and shoulders received high-resolution images at multiple exposures to document marks, pressure patterns, and contact transfers. The face and scalp received the same treatment. Standard hair standards went into envelopes. Buccal swabs entered a locked tray marked for lab use only. The ligature went to a separate table. Fibers near the knot went under a stereoscope. Any unique twist or tool mark on hardware went into macro shots with measurement scales. A cut segment of the ligature, not the knot, entered evidence for comparative testing. The remainder stayed sealed for court integrity. While the lab worked the external exam, our office pushed the first checks. Missings databases in the region for females within a wide age range. Transit inquiries for recent drop-offs on nearby routes. Taxi co-ops for any hires to the area. Health services for recent emergency visits by an unidentified adult female. None of these steps presumed a cause. Each step looked for a path to a name. By midnight, the pathologist issued a standard preliminary note. Findings consistent with death by hanging. No blunt force injury on visible surfaces. No sign of struggle on the clothing that would oppose the scene record. No defensive marks on hands. No obvious injection marks. A full autopsy would follow with histology and toxicology to fix the medical cause. That note triggered the first internal classification. Apparent suicide pending postmortem. Night hours went to chain of custody discipline. Every bagged item received duplicate labels and a barcode. The clothing set moved into a vented locker. The ligature assembly moved into a vault drawer. Swabs and clippings moved into a cold unit. The clipboard matched the database. A second reader verified each entry. Errors at this stage echo for years. We do not allow them. At first light, we reopen the shed for the secondary pass. Low-angle light can reveal dust shifts and small fibers missed under harsh lamps. The photographer repeated key angles. A dusting tech checked smooth surfaces with magnetic powder. Lifts went on to acetate with corner labels. The floor under the suspension area received gel lifts across a grid. A scene sergeant coordinated a search outside for a wide arc, working from the door to the lane and beyond to the first junction. Quiet lanes hide small objects. We covered both ditches on foot. The house team completed a property walk with the owners. Items in the shed belonged to the home. Feed sacks, buckets, and fencing tools matched purchase records and routine use. No foreign objects showed up on a quick audit. The owners signed a list of shed contents as of this date and time. A copy went into the file. At the institute, the fingerprint techs prepared the first set. Postmortem prints are a skilled task. The team warmed fingers with care, used firm supports, and rolled each digit on a glass plate with clean ink. Prints went onto cards and then into a scanner for digital submission. We routed the file to national and partner systems. A confirmation receipt came back. The search would take time. The pathologist began the internal exam mid-morning on day one. Standard procedure. The narrative included neck structures, airway, vessels, and soft tissue. The team documented findings at each step. Blood samples went into tubes for tox screens. Tissue blocks went into cassettes for histology. A timeline estimate would follow once labs returned. We did not push for speed. Accuracy rules. By midday, we sent a request for radiographs on small bones and teeth. A full dental chart helps later comparisons. we noted restorations, caries, and unique features. A dental photograph set with retractors went into the protected portion of the file. We flagged the record for potential match work with any dental cards on file in the region. In the office, the analyst on duty built the first movement grid for the area. Public transport timetables. Last-mile walking routes from drop points. Taxi zones. Informal ride boards near transit. We marked the most likely entry points for a person on foot who did not know the property. Later, we would cross-reference with any phone activity in the cell covering the lane during the relevant window. For now, the grid helped plan interviews. We scheduled a return to neighbors on day one evening. People remember more after the first shock fades. We asked focus questions. Did you see a woman on foot in recent days? Did a dog bark at an unusual hour? Did headlights sweep your windows near dusk? Did someone ask for directions near the track? We logged the answers without leading anyone. No change from day one. No one had seen her before. Day two started with the autopsy complete and samples in transit. The pathologist kept the preliminary note in place. Apparent suicide pending lab results. Our role is not to confirm a manner before the full set arrives. We recorded the note as a guide for resource planning, not an end point. The clothing set moved to trace work under a different light base. We used alternate light sources to detect latent stains and fiber transfers. A small number of fibers did not match the clothing. Each stray fiber went into its own capsule. Later comparison would sort household fibers from something brought in on the last day of life. Shoe soles received a separate scrub and rinse into a filter to catch grit, paint flecks, or plant material. Grit often speaks in a voice of its own. It tells you where a person walked within hours of death. By midday on day two, our admin filed formal notices to regional units with a simple ask. Report any recent contact with an unidentified adult female near Girona. Report any found property near the river and tracks leading to Olivar's. Report any found phone with lock screen in a language not native to the region. We kept the signal tight. Wide nets waste time in week one. The residents at the farmhouse returned to routine under guidance. No cleaning in the shed. No movement of items within the yard area under seal. We gave them a single point of contact and clear hours for updates. Uncertainty weighs on people who find a stranger on their land. Clarity helps them carry the next days. Late on day two, the first internal review met in a small room off the corridor. We walked through steps completed and steps pending. Scene recorded twice. Body recovered and examined. Chain of custody intact. Clothing and ligature secured. Prints taken and submitted. Dental chart ready. Neighborhood checks complete for a first pass. Preliminary classification in place. Next steps listed in order. Phones, transport, additional canvas and lab updates. One line stayed on the whiteboard at the end of that meeting. Do not rush the label. The early note guides work, but it does not end a case. We still needed a name, a route, and a reason for arrival at a shed on a quiet property. The first 48 hours gave us order. The next weeks would test our reach. The tattoo and the story police told. The forearm came into view under clean light. A single word inked in Hebrew script. Exito. The letters held sharp edges and even depth, done by a steady hand. Placement sat where a sleeve rides up during work. A mark you see without effort, not hidden on purpose. We photographed from three angles with a scale. We logged position, size, and color. A translator on call read it without pause. Success. A second opinion matched. A third said the word tracks Spanish, not modern Hebrew usage. The point stood either way. Success, written in a script linked to a different language family. The mix pulled attention from the first hour. Early profiles lean on things a stranger wears and carries on skin. A single mark can steer a search for months. I watched that happen here. The tattoo and basic features pushed some to a story about a traveler from Northern Europe. A tidy idea. A lone woman on foot. A foreign script. A rural lane near a tourist region. A profile grows with those seeds. It also narrows too soon. We built a clean record of clothing before release to any appeal. Shirt, trousers, underlayers, socks, shoes. Where patterns showed regular use, not brand new buys. Labels gave no clear country. Tailoring marks spoke of off the rack. No boutique details. No custom work. Pockets held nothing. No ticket stub. No receipt. No metro card. No key that fits a local lock. You want a tag that points to one city. You rarely get it. Height sat near regional averages. Hair and eye color fit broad European ranges. Nothing unique there. Skin tone offered no anchor either. Nails showed practical care, short and clean. No salon pattern. No gel set. Small tells like these feed a profile. They never carry it alone. Appeal drafts must pick simple hooks. Our draft listed the tattoo, general build, clothing, a ring size, and an open ask for any match. We cut guesswork. No looks like. No from. No tourist. A different office added a line about possible northern origin when a public notice went live weeks later. That line stuck in public memory. It felt neat. It felt plausible. Neat and plausible ruin reach when a case crosses borders you do not expect. The tattoo did most of the work in minds outside our room. People associated Hebrew script with Israel or with communities in Western Europe. The word itself read in Spanish. The mix felt like a modern traveler. A person who moves in hostels and co-ops. A story formed without ground under it. I have seen the same arc with kanji on a farmer in Aragon who never left Spain. I have seen Celtic knots on a baker from Cordoba with no Irish roots. Ink is a choice. Origin is a history that ink does not reveal without context. We ran the mark through our photo bank. We checked local studios for similar work. No match in the first pass. The line weight suggested a pro shop, not a kitchen needle. The black held even under alternate light. No cheap pigment. The Hebrew forms read clean and common, not a custom calligraphic style. All of this pointed to ordinary access, not a signature piece from a known artist. A small group in a partner unit offered a theory during week one. A tourist in a coastal town, a recent tattoo, a visit inland, a final walk. That idea ignored the lack of vehicle and the lack of a trail of objects. Tourists shed things. They leave wrappers and parking stubs. They ask neighbors for directions. You pick up scraps when a traveler passes through. We had none. The public read the tattoo as a promise. Success. A bold word on an arm. People who called and wanted to tell a hopeful tale. A free soul who moved on impulse and met a sad end. Calls came from far regions with similar marks. None fit. When callers chased the northern line, suggestions split by language, not by proof. The noise grew. The file did not. Profiling error grew from three roots. First, overconfidence in visual cues. Second, the pull of a simple border story inside a union of easy travel. Third, the weight of a foreign script. A script can speak to faith, fashion, or a private motto. It does not fix a passport. Inside the room, we tried to keep the center of the case where it began. A woman with no papers in a shed on a quiet property. The tattoo sat in the record, not on the lead board. We pushed fingerprints, dental work, and transport checks. We ran the clothing fibers against local samples. We looked for a shop that sells that exact sock weave in Girona. The weave was common. The trail went cold fast. We also worked the meaning of the word, not as a clue to origin, but as a clue to personal story. Success as a chosen motto can mark a person who pushes through setbacks. It can mark a person who drew strength from a private promise. It can also be a gift from a friend. The meaning lives with the bearer. Without a name, the word stays silent. Transliteration added confusion in early press. One outlet wrote the word as a Spanish loan in Hebrew letters. Another said the mark meant success in Hebrew. Both readings point to the same idea. Both suggest someone who liked the word. Neither proves where she grew up or who she loved. The case needed a name, not a language lesson. We set a boundary on outreach. No release of the face. No release of full body images. No release of the ligature. We kept to the tattoo, build, clothing, and a narrow set of dates. Sensational pieces eat time and bring no leads. We chose quiet accuracy. Response volume dropped and quality rose. A few calls offered names with dates in Girona or Barcelona years earlier. None matched dental work. None hit on prints. I looked again at the early public line about northern origin. A single word inside a notice can push a whole network of volunteers to search in wrong places. Groups copied the line. Posts spread with flags and emojis. Good people spent nights paging through lists from the wrong region. Search energy burned on places where she never lived. A notice must resist narrative, or it will waste the goodwill it asks for. 2 weeks after the appeal, I met with the team to write a new internal note. No origin theory. No travel story without proof. Focus on labs and transport. keep the tattoo in the file as a neutral mark. The note felt dry. Dry saved us from more drift. We also looked at bias from inside our own work. Rural setting pushed minds toward a local. Foreign script pushed minds toward a visitor. The two poles pulled apart. People like an either-or. Local or foreign. Random or planned. Life puts many cases in the middle. A person who left home years ago. A person who speaks two or three languages. A person with a private motto in ink and a day job in a place no one expects. A file needs to hold that middle without forcing a side. I spoke with a senior examiner who sees hundreds of unknowns. He told me to list the tattoo in the same tone as a scar. Record it with care. Do not turn it into a narrative spine. Scars tell stories when a name arrives. Tattoos do too. Before a name, both sit as facts on a page. We kept working the items that endure when stories fade. Teeth. Bone. Prints. Fibers on clothing. Soil and tread. Those things outlast posts and headlines. They do not feel dramatic. They are how you bring a person home. Weeks rolled into months. The tattoo faded in the inbox. The case stayed in a quiet lane. Every few months, a regional review would bring the mark back up. Someone new would say the script points to a country. Someone else would want to push a new appeal with a flag in the background. We held the line. Facts first. No flags. The irony sat plain. The word on her arm meant success. The search built around that word failed early because people chased a neat story. The mark was not a key. It was a note. We filed it where notes belong. On the same shelf as height, hair, and shoe size. Useful later. Not decisive now. Life before Girona. Records place Ainhoa in Spain by 2013, age 28, living in Catalonia. Family recounts an earlier date, 2012. Both entries sit in the file. One comes from official movement logs. One comes from a brother who waited for messages that stopped. I treat both as anchors for a range, then build the line forward. The first stop sits in a queue at a city office. Empadronamiento. Name, address, date. A signature confirms presence in a district. A card follows with a number for daily life. Rent, work, clinic, phone. Each step leaves a trace. I request prints of forms for 2013 through 2019 in Barcelona and nearby towns. Clerks move fast behind glass. Stamps land with a soft thud. Requests go out to archives. A residence permit appears in the file with one renewal. Expiry in 2019. A simple line with weight. Renewal dates map daily life better than any photo. Renewal needs time off work, a fee, and a fixed address. People who drift seldom renew. People who build a plan tend to renew on time. Expiry in 2019 marks a turn in the line. We map transport points used by new arrivals from South America. Long haul into Barcelona. Overland lines toward Girona for work or housing. I walk Sants and Arc de Triomphe on a weekday morning and note the corners where newcomers queue for prepaid SIMs. A form of welcome sits in those kiosks. A number ties a person to calls, messages, and purchase logs. I send preservation requests for purchase data within lawful dates tied to 2013 to 2015 ranges. Banks leave a trail when a person opens an account. A passport number, a local address, a signature. Small deposits first, then payroll if a contract arrives. I send narrow inquiries to branches near hostels and shared flats that rent to Paraguayans in 2013. Some reply with zero. Others ask for a court order. The aim stays plain. Place her in a street and in a room, month by month, without guesswork. NGO files often hold early notes for newcomers who need help with papers or work advice. I visit two offices that support women from Latin America in Barcelona. Staffers pull old binders with intake forms from 2013 and 2014. We scan surnames by sound, not just spelling, since accents drop on forms. No hit in the first pass. I leave a contact sheet and a discreet request for any later recall once news spreads. Health records show presence without broadcasting private life. A card swipe at a clinic links a date to a neighborhood. I request de-identified hits tied to initials and birth year, limited to a window before 2018 and only in Catalonia. A legal team reviews the scope. We receive a simple report. Visits occurred. Dates line up with the permit period. No narrative, no diagnosis, only proof of life in region and year. Work leaves contracts and payroll slips. the neighborhood around Glory's and Pobble New hired Steady Waves in 2013 to 2015. Cleaning, kitchens, retail stockrooms. We send lawful inquiries to agencies that placed hourly staff in those years. Old databases sputter. One agency confirms a worker with the same two surnames used a local address for notices in mid-2014. The paper file for that month went to storage offsite. A clerk promises a search. Street memory helps when paper fails. I sit with two women from a Paraguayan community group at a cafe near Hosta Franks. We look at a short list of names and photos that respect privacy rules. No face matches. They recall a friend named Ainoha from a parish kitchen in 2014, but the surname fails to land. I log the tip without wait and request parish rosters for volunteers in that year. A poster appears in 2020 with a Barcelona contact number. The image shows a woman listed as missing. Name and age match. City tag below the photo reads Barcelona. We archive the poster and confirm release dates with the group that issued it. That date will matter later when timelines meet across borders. I ask a city archivist for padrones near Bessos, Sant Andreu, and Horta for 2013 to 2016. Those districts absorb many new tenants with modest rents. The archivist moves through bound volumes and scans. No exact match in the first pull, but two near-miss entries share one surname. We request a second pass with sound-alike variants. Phones tell simple truths. A SIM bought in 2013 registers in a system with location stamps, top-ups, and handset changes. Law covers access rules. I submit a request limited to identifiers tied to the residence number from the permit cycle. The reply lists a prepaid account active in 2015 with recharge points in Sant Martí and one in Girona months before death. The record does not carry voice content. It draws a line on a map. The brothers' report provides context. Months without contact. A formal missing report in Paraguay the year after messages stopped. That report enters national systems and later helps a match. Inside our chapter, it serves another purpose. It marks the human rhythm of the file. People wait, hope, and then seek help when silence grows heavy. A life in Barcelona often means shared rooms. I visit a landlord who rented to South American tenants in 2013 near Navas. He brings out a ledger with names and payments in cash. The surname Izaga appears once with an initial that fits. The amount equals a single bed in a four-room flat. No ID photocopy in the folder for that month. He remembers a blonde woman from Paraguay for a short stay. Memory bends. Paper holds. I file the ledger copy and keep the detail in view without overreach. A transport card can be a gold thread. I send a request for stored value card logs tied to the period when the permit remained valid. Media readers on metro gates record taps. The system returns a card number that saw use across L1 and L2 in 2014 to 2015 with regular peaks near Clot and Universitat. A cluster like that often means work in one place and sleep in another. We sketch routes and mark transfer points that match shifts ending after dark. Friends often stand between silence and a report. We reach out through community groups for anyone who remembers an Ainoha with a Hebrew word on an arm. One reply mentions a woman who kept sleeves down at work and rolled them up in summer, with a tattoo that drew questions. The friend never learned more. A first name only. The picture fits, but first names multiply in big cities. I file the tip and hold it as a soft link, not a proof. By late spring 2019, the permit expired and no renewal followed. A break like this can mean a move, a lost job, a health crisis, or a decision to step away from forms and offices. The poster in 2020 suggests alarm inside the family and among friends who remained in Spain. The card logs stop around the same time. The bank account closes after low activity. The ledger in Navas gains no new entry. We walk the line north from Barcelona toward Girona with a focus on 2018. One bus route allows a cash ticket from Estacio del Nord with no name tied to the receipt. Trains record card swipes. A prepaid phone with low balance leaves few traces. Each gap shapes the final days without writing a script we do not own. We mark the stops where a person without a car steps off and walks on a dirt lane. We already know where the lane ends. We still need the steps in between. A life leaves quiet marks. Office stamps, clinic visits, prepaid recharges, rent in a ledger. The record for Ainoha shows arrival in 2013, integration through routine steps, and a fade across 2018 to 2019. Barcelona appears in posters and in small traces tied to work and transport. None of this reveals motive. All of it returns her to streets and rooms she knew. Years without a name. The file moved from an active scene binder to a gray box on a shelf. The label read unknown female. The date fixed the start. The rest of the line stood blank. We set a review cycle. 30 days. 90 days. 6 months. 1 year. Each tick brought the same question. Do we have a name yet? Chain of custody held while paper moved. Clothing stayed in a vented locker. The ligature sat in a sealed drawer. Swabs and clippings rested in cold storage. The log matched the database. A second reader signed every inventory check. Nothing left that room without a barcode scan. We pushed the standard search net in the first year. Prints to national files. Prints to partner systems through the usual gate. Dental chart prepared and queued for future comparison. DNA extracted and stored under the legal rules in force that season. Missings lists in Catalonia and across Spain checked for women within a broad age range. Hospitals and shelters asked for any recent contacts with an unidentified adult woman. No hit. No match. No easy lead. The grave came next. When a case holds no name and no claim, the city follows a policy that treats every person with dignity. A plain burial. A record with coordinates. A tag that ties back to the case number. We stood at the cemetery with a simple form. The casket went down. The record closed on that step. The case stayed open. Months turned into a year. We read the file again at each review. We checked that every step had a date and a signature. The first pages stayed the same. Found in a shed on a working property. No papers. No vehicle. Residents did not know her. The medical findings sat at the front. Apparent suicide pending full analysis. The manor did not hand us a name. Only identity work could do that. A first request to transit gave no new route. Cash tickets leave little behind. A second request to taxi co-ops brought no higher to the lane. A third round with nearby clinics confirmed that a woman without papers did not pass through their doors near the date. The grid on the whiteboard stayed thin on the right side. The steps to the farm did not appear. The family line entered in the second year. A brother in Paraguay filed a report after months without contact. His statement fixed her move to Spain years earlier. His worry fixed the silence. The report sat in a different system far from Girona. We did not see it then. The case waited in our room for an external key. The city printed a small poster in 2020 with her name and a number in Barcelona. Friends and community groups shared it. A photo moved through circles of people who help when someone goes missing. The poster reached rooms where she had once worked and lived. The calls that came did not meet the dental chart or the prints. The poster went up in cafes and parish halls. It came down when the tape gave out. Every review included a check on the grave. The record showed her in a common row with coordinates. The file noted the location and the process to follow if a family claimed her one day. The aim never changed. Hold a place that a loved one can visit. Keep the path open from a name to a site. Do not let a person vanish into a number. By late 2021, the first wave of outreach had cooled. We sat with the gray box and wrote a new plan that asked less of the public and more of the systems built for unknowns. Fingerprint files grow every year when partner countries add records. Dental databases expand when clinics digitize charts. DNA reference banks accept family samples. Progress can feel slow inside a single case. At scale, it moves. In 2023, a broader appeal framework took shape that focused on unidentified women found across Europe. The idea was simple. Present clear case summaries with photos and specific marks. Ask for information from people who might recognize a tattoo, a jacket, a ring, or a habit. Share across borders. Our case fit the profile. We prepared the brief. One page. Date. Place. Circumstances. Height. Clothing. The word on her forearm. We kept the tone dry and exact. No origin theory. No travel story. No flags. Once the brief went live, calls rose again. Some callers offered names from far countries. Others thought they had seen her in a hostel or a market years earlier. We answered each call with patience. We logged names and dates. We checked against teeth, prints, and basic facts. Nothing aligned. The volume eased after a few weeks. We returned to the systems. Inside our office, we ran an internal audit on bias. We asked whether any early line in the public notices had narrowed thinking. We trimmed language that hinted at where she might be from. We kept what never lies. Date. Place. How she was found. What she wore. The tattoo. The goal stayed the same. A name, not a story. The box went back on the shelf. The case did not gather dust. The review calendar kept it moving. The logs for the evidence room kept it active. We checked that storage ran at the right temperature. We checked that seals held. We confirmed that the packaging was still sound. Decay steals answers. We did not allow it room. In 2024, the case brief stayed in the public gallery. A few small outlets reran the summary near the date of discovery. We took the chance to send a short reminder through professional channels. The prints sat in partner systems. The dental chart waited. DNA sat ready for a family member to come forward. Nothing changed on paper. The reach of the network changed a little with each month. The file still worked even when no one outside saw it move. A new analyst took a fresh run at transport to the area around the farm. They checked walking routes from bus points that accept cash. They mapped trailheads and informal paths that cut under the highway. They drew circles that show how far a person can go on foot in an hour. Those circles crossed fields and small roads that locals know well. None of that gave a name. It gave us a better sense of how she might have reached the lane. A winter meeting in our unit brought the usual mix. Cases with a suspect. Cases with a timeline ready for court. Cases with a name but no charges. Then the gray boxes. We pulled ours and ran through a short deck. First page, the shed. Second page, the grave record. Third page, the poster from Barcelona. Fourth page, the brief and the wider appeal. The room stayed quiet. People know these files by feel. They hold a weight that does not match their size. We closed the year with the same line on the board. Unknown female. The date of discovery. The place. The state of identification. Unresolved. I wrote a note in the margin that we needed to push one item early in the new year. A fresh fingerprint submission through a channel that had expanded its reach. Two countries had adapted their process for older prints and now shared data that had been hard to access in the past. Small shifts like that change outcomes. You do not see them on the news. You see them when a hit arrives 2 years later and you count back through the memos that made it possible. These years train patience. You do not force a match. You prepare for it. You keep the file neat and complete. You keep the evidence intact. You write clear summaries that do not promise what you cannot prove. You answer calls with respect. You protect the dignity of the woman at the center of the case. You hold a place for her in the city where she was buried. On the last day of the review cycle, I stood in the cemetery for a few minutes. The ground was quiet, the tag number tied to a line in our file. I read it once and put the paper away. The point of this work is simple. A person left this world without a name. Our job is to bring the name back and place it above the ground where she rests. The years without that name did not change the aim. They sharpened it. Identify Me goes public. I wrote the brief with a tight list. Date. Place. Age range. Height. Clothing. The single word on her forearm. One page. One photo cropped to protect her face. No theory. No origin guess. Clear contact routes for leads. The campaign's rule was simple. Present the facts in a uniform way across borders. Spain prepared the case sheet. The title used plain words from the scene. The woman in the shed. The summary line named the district in Girona and the time of day. A short paragraph noted no papers, no link to residence, no vehicle in view. The photo tile sat in a grid with other cases from Europe. Translation choices mattered. The mark on her arm read success. The script read Hebrew. We listed both, without adding meanings that drift by culture. Height went in centimeters. Clothing items use common terms. Color names stuck to basics. Each choice reduced noise when readers shared the sheet. We matched imagery to dignity rules. No face. No body under stress. No ligature. Only items that help recognition. The tattoo appeared with a scale. The shirt pattern showed in a neutral crop. Shoes showed where from use, not a brand push. The aim stayed steady. Give people who once knew her a fair shot at a match without exposing her to spectacle. The public notice launched with partner support. Specialists in Lion handled intake funnels. Tips arrived by phone and form in several languages. Our office saw routed summaries with names, dates, places, and claimed links. We triaged by strength. A name with a date in Catalonia and a workplace earned a high flag. A guest tied to hair color and a backpack sat low. We held steady on language. Earlier, a line in another notice suggested a northern origin. It felt neat. It sent helpers down the wrong roads. We stripped every hint like that from our sheet. The map for this case reached far beyond one region. The person at the center had lived in Barcelona for years. Our words needed to let a friend in that city see her, not a reader thousands of kilometers away chasing a stereotype. Calls rose in the first week, then settled into a sustainable pace. A hostel worker from 2014 described a woman with sleeves down at work and up in summer. A former flatmate offered a first name and a street near Clot. A kitchen manager remembered a tattoo with sharp edges and a neat hand. We logged each account, checked dates, and tested details against the record. None crossed the threshold for a direct hit, yet the pool of plausible links tilted toward Barcelona, not a distant capital. The campaign had restored focus where life had placed her. Inside the office, we adjusted our own process. The brief made distribution simple. The response made routing complex. We added a small team to handle cross-time zone calls. We assigned a single contact for family groups and NGOs. We wrote short replies that explained next steps without false hope. When a lead aligned with teeth or prints, the tone shifted to careful urgency. Most did not. Respect stayed constant. The sheet stayed live through 2024. A national outlet in autumn amplified the case with a clean explainer on the tattoo and the clothing list. Interest spiked again. People sent photos of friends with similar ink from beaches and bars. We thanked them and placed those notes in a low bin. Two messages mattered more. One came from a tenant roster in a shared flat near Navis. One came from a community group that posted missing notices in 2020. Both messages fit a pattern that had formed in our files. Work. Shared rooms. Barcelona roots. A campaign is not a switch that flips a result. It is a structure that keeps a case in view while systems grow. Fingerprint sharing widened during this period. Partner offices refreshed pipelines for older postmortem sets. When those channels opened, our digital cards moved again. The brief had kept interest alive and had gathered context. The match, when it arrived months later, would ride on prints sent through an updated gate. I kept one note taped inside the binder during this stage. No origin claims. No drama. Facts only. The brief honored her as a person first and as a case second. People responded in kind. The best calls came from those who had no appetite for spectacle. They wanted to help a woman they remembered from work or church or a kitchen shift. That tone came from the way we wrote and from the way we showed her belongings. The outreach phase ended with a simple status line in our system. Public appeal active. Leads triaged weekly. Lab and partner checks ongoing. The grave in Girona still marked. The family abroad still without news. The next chapter would leave the gallery page and return to hard data. A print set from one country would meet a record from another. A name would follow. The fingerprint hit. Early in 2025, our lab re-scanned the postmortem cards. A new exchange route sat open through the partner hub. We filed a fresh submission. 10 flat impressions and the rolled set went out in a single package. Quality checks passed on the first try. A candidate returned from abroad. Minutiae lined up cleanly. Bifurcations, ridge endings, and short spurs matched across several fingers. The score crossed the internal threshold for a probable identification. We moved from software to eyes. Two examiners worked independently. Each marked points on prints from our file and on the candidate set. Each reached the same conclusion. Same person. Coordination began at once. A liaison in Madrid opened a secure line with Lyon and Asunción. The partner office sent the original enrollment set. Our lab repeated the comparison against source images, not copies. Ridge clarity held. Distortion sat within expected ranges for postmortem capture. The match stood. Name, age, and origin arrived on the follow-up sheet. Ainhoa Izaga, 33, Paraguay. The date of birth fit the estimate in our file. Height and build fit as well. A residency record placed her in Catalonia years before death. A missing report from family existed in a separate system. Pieces that sat apart for years now sat in one frame. We wrote the identity into the header, then locked the change behind a second signature. The gray box label changed too. Unknown female became Ainhoa Izaga. The cemetery record gained a line with a real name, pending formal notice to family. Evidence seals stayed in place. Identity does not end custody. Next came a controlled sweep through our own work. Prints, dental chart, DNA extracts, clothing, ligature, and all logs. We checked for any internal conflict with the new data. None appeared. The prints told a full story on their own. We kept the dental chart ready as a secondary anchor if a court later asked for more. We prepared a short internal brief. Time and date of match. Systems involved. Offices on the calls. Steps to confirmation by human examiners. Summary of biographical points linked through lawful records. No theories. No speculation. Only items tied to files with signatures. The campaign office received a status note. One line confirmed success through fingerprints. Another line requested restraint on public detail until family heard from authorities. Dignity comes first. Public interest waits. I stood in the evidence room after the calls ended. The same sealed bags sat on the same shelves. Nothing inside those bags had moved since the last audit. Everything around them had changed. A name carried weight no other data carries. A name returns a person to a life, a language, and a family. The match did not explain the last walk to the farm. It did not write a motive. It did one thing we had waited years to do. It gave her back to her own people. We scheduled the next chapter of work. Formal notices across borders. Coordination on records. A plan for respectful communication with relatives. A plan for media once privacy needs were met. The lane in St. Julia would wait. The outbuilding would wait. First things first. Telling the family. The match cleared and the lab signed the final page. We closed the binder and opened a new task list. Before any notice to the press, we called our liaison. Family must hear first. No delays. No leaks. We built the packet. The identity sheet came first. Name. Date of birth. Nationality. The fingerprint summary sat behind it. Two examiners. Points marked. Outcome. A third page listed what we knew and what we did not know. The manner line stayed where the pathologist left it. We did not shade it. The last page explained next steps in plain language. Cross-border work starts with people, not forms. Spain notified the partner office. The partner office notified the national contact in Paraguay. A consular officer in Barcelona joined the chain. A victim services lead in our unit took point. We added an interpreter. We checked time zones twice. We set a window when family would be awake and supported. The first call asked for safety. Are you at home? Are you with someone you trust? Do you want us to wait for a relative to arrive? Once we had consent, we spoke the name and the fact of death in clear terms. No euphemisms. No guesswork. Silence followed. We held the line. People need a minute to let words land. We did not rush to fill the space. Questions came in small groups. Where did this happen? When? How sure are you? We answered each question with one line and offered to repeat anything. The interpreter kept pace. We spelled the town and the district. We did not describe the scene beyond what a family needs to know on day one. Detail belongs in a later meeting when the person on the other end asks for it and feels ready. We offered a plan for a second call later in the day. People forget what they hear in shock. A repeated summary helps. We sent a short written note that matched our words. The note carried names and direct numbers for our team and for the consular contact. It explained that further information would follow by video call within 24 hours. The video call brought faces into the room. A brother sat with a friend. A cousin joined from a different city. The consular officer and our victim services lead appeared on screen next to me. We walked through the packet together. We showed the identity sheet. We explained the fingerprint match. We explained that we had kept the grave recorded and the case open. We set out options with care. Families hold rights even when distance stands in the way. We explained the right to correct the record with her name. We explained the process to amend the grave register. We explained the option to request an exhumation and repatriation. Each option came with steps, costs, legal orders, and timelines. We did not steer. We laid out paths. We promised help on any path they chose. Translation matters when the subject is law and grief. We paused after each section. The interpreter rendered each point. We asked the brother to tell us what he had heard to be sure the meaning matched. He repeated the lines in his own words. We corrected small points and moved on. We kept sentences short. We avoided jargon. We kept dates exact. We addressed personal effects. The list from the scene held no items of value. We said so. we promised a copy of the full inventory. We explained chain of custody and why some items stay sealed. We explained how a court order can release items when a family asks and a judge agrees. The point here is respect. Even an empty list deserves a full answer. We explained what we would say in public and when. We asked for their wishes on the name and on photos. We offered to route media to our office so the family did not field calls. We asked how they wanted friends and community groups to hear. Some families want a notice out at once so rumors stop. Others want time. We follow their lead. We set a schedule for updates. A weekly call at a fixed hour. An email summary after each call. A single contact on our side, so they never repeat the same question to new voices. A backup name if the lead goes on leave. The consular officer mirrored the plan from their side. A plan reduces the sense that the case will vanish again. The next step in country was paperwork. The cemetery record carried a number. We filed a request to add her name. The office took the form and asked for proof. We sent a certified copy of the identity sheet and the judge's note. The entry would change within a week. That change matters, even if no one visits the site for now. A name on a page anchors a place in the world. The family asked about repatriation. We listed the steps in order. Court authorization for exhumation. Health and transport documents. A funeral home here to prepare the remains. A funeral home there to receive them. Costs broken down by line. Time broken down by weeks, not days. We explained that a local memorial in Girona is also an option if they choose to wait. We said we would respect any choice. We meant it. We talked about the manor line. The brother asked if anyone hurt her. We said what the medical file said and what it did not say. We said we would review the case again with fresh eyes now that we had a name. We did not speculate. We promised to tell them first if new facts changed the file. Trust rests on this point. We will not let them learn from a headline. We closed the call with a summary. Name confirmed. Date and place fixed. Rights explained. Options listed. Update schedule set. Contacts exchanged. We read the spelling of her name together. The brother asked to hear it once more in our accent. He repeated it in his. A small act. A clear line across distance. After the call, we wrote the internal log. Time. Names. Summary of questions. Summary of answers. Requested actions. We filed the packet in both languages. We notified the judge that family contact was complete. We sent the public affairs team a line that they could use later with permission. No details on the scene. No details on the manor. Only the name, age, nationality, and the fact of identification. We held it until the family told us to release it. The next day, our victim services lead called again. She asked about sleep. She asked if the brother had someone with him. She offered connections to support groups. She offered to speak with another family member who had missed the first call. These steps do not move a case. They matter all the same. A week later, the grave register changed. The clerk added her full name beside the number. We visited the row and checked the tag. The tag still showed the number. A new plate would take time. Paper changes first. Metal follows. I stood there and read the name from the form. Then I folded the paper and walked out. The press notice went out with the family's consent. The campaign gallery moved the tile from the unidentified list to the identified list. The file in our room moved to a shelf for named cases that hold open questions. We sent the family a copy of the notice and told them when it would post. We stayed near the phone that day. When calls came in from volunteers and group leaders, we thanked them for their work. We explained that the family had been told first. We asked people to remove old posters that still use the word unknown. We asked them to share the notice with the correct name if they felt it was right to do so. The point is to replace absence with presence. The work of telling the family ends with a handover to their pace. Some families want to visit the site. Some want us to send a photo of the grave plate when it changes. Some do not want any images. We ask and we follow. Our duty is to carry the weight that comes with process so they can carry the rest. What the case teaches. Start with the first mistake. People trusted a neat origin story built from a tattoo and a look. The guess pointed north. The file needed facts, not a compass made from ink. A notice must list what can be proved. Date. Place. How she was found. What she wore. A single word on an arm. Nothing more. Second, do not let a public appeal script the case. A campaign helps when it holds a steady frame. One page. One image. plain words. No flags. No fantasy. The aim is simple. Reach the person who knew her in life. Do not feed readers who want a tale. Third, prints win when the route to compare them opens. The match did not arrive because we wished harder. It arrived because two labs could see each other and share full sets. That took standards, clean scans, and a path between systems. Build those paths early. Keep the cards in shape. Rescan when tools improve. Fourth, dignity is not decoration. The brief protected her face. The press line waited until family heard first. The grave held a place with a number and a plan to add her name. These steps do not slow justice. They set the tone for it. People help when they see respect. Fifth, feedback loops need guards. A stray line about origin in an early notice pulled helpers to the wrong maps for months. Each share copied the line. Each copy looked like proof. Write appeals that cannot drift like that. Use numbers and nouns, not hints. Sixth, storage is part of investigation. Bags sealed right. Logs that match the database. Temperature checks. A case does not move when evidence decays. A case moves when you can trust every seal years later. That trust let us compare, confirm, and name her without doubt. Seventh, a file must split theory from workload. The team listed options for how she reached the farm. On foot, drop off, public transport. We did not weight them without data. We spent time on transport maps and trail entries only when a new detail made that time smart. Do not chase what you cannot test. Eighth, families need structure more than speeches. Plain calls. Short notes. A weekly slot. Clear rights. Options in order. Contacts who pick up. The press can wait. Support cannot. A name is for the living as much as for the record. Ninth, measure a campaign by its handoff to systems. Appeals can raise leads. Systems close distances. This case shows the seam. The brief held focus on Barcelona ties. The match landed when fingerprint channels widened. The lesson is to run both tracks without letting one carry blame for the other. 10th, avoid romance and unknown victim work. Tattoos mislead. Clothes mislead. A neat life story misleads. Teeth, prints, bone, and clean chains of custody carry the weight. Keep the story off the board until a name arrives. Three examples fix these points to ground. Example 1. Early chatter said Northern Europe. Friends in Barcelona later recalled a woman with sleeves up in summer and a word on her arm. The campaign sheet, written without origin claims, drew those voices back to the city where she lived. Example 2. A print set taken years ago matched only after partner offices changed how they shared older records. The same scan that failed in 2019 hit in 2025. The change was reach, not luck. Example 3. A grave held a number for years. The record now holds her name. The shift did not come from a theory. It came from a chain that took a match, a call, a court note, and a clerk with a form. This case will not teach one grand lesson. It teaches a set of small ones. Write notices that resist drift. Store evidence as if day one never ends. Build cross-border routes that treat prints like passports. Put family first. Hold a quiet line when noise rises. Add the name to the place. Unanswered but named. A name closes one door and opens others. I know her returns to records, to a grave entry, to people who loved her. The file still holds gaps. Some gaps will narrow. Some will stay as they are. First, the route to the farm. A person on foot can reach a rural lane from several drop points. Each point leaves small signs in normal cases. A taxi receipt. A bus ticket stub. A camera view near a stop. This case holds none of those. Maps show likely paths from public transport into the fields. Soil from shoe tread speaks more than any guess. Trace from Saul's gave grit and plant dust that match countryside, not a beachfront or a central plaza. It does not tell which turn she took. The shed shows entry with no force. The yard shows no drag. The door hardware works. Each fact points to arrival under her own power, or with someone who knew how to leave no mark. We do not weigh those options without a new clue. Second, the last hours. Phones answer questions when a device sits on a table in front of you. No device turned up on the day of discovery. Prepaid lines leave thin trails. A train tap card leaves a clear line. A cash bus fare leaves a faint one. We checked lines you can check without a handset. We did not find a final ping or a camera view that lets you watch her walk the last stretch. Time of death sits inside a window set by postmortem work. That window frames interviews, not conclusions. Third, health history. A file notes clinic visits in earlier years with no story attached. Health privacy holds for a reason. Families decide what to share. If a relative chooses to add context for the record, we accept and record with care. If no relative offers that, the case moves without it. Respect stands above curiosity. Fourth, the manner line. The preliminary note set an early view. Final lines follow lab work and review. If a new fact changes a line, the change appears with a date and a signature. No one speaks past the record. We brief family first if any change occurs. Fifth, legal steps. Spain and Paraguay now hold points of contact who can open doors for the family. Records in Catalonia will swap the case number for her name in places where a number used to sit alone. If the family wants repatriation, a judge signs, a funeral home prepares, and a partner receives. If the family wants a plate above the grave in Girona, a clerk orders one. If a memorial in Barcelona feels right for friends, community leaders can plan one. Our role is to explain paths and to stand by while choices take shape. Sixth, the campaign record. The public case tile moves from unknown to identified. Future readers will see a name and a result instead of an open field. That change does more than close a line on a site. It shows how systems, patience, and respect met in one file. Staff who work other unknowns read those tiles and see proof that work matters. Three examples hold what remains open. Example 1. The bus approach. A rider pays in cash at a central station, steps off near a junction, then walks a dirt lane. No ticket stays in a pocket. No camera watches under tree cover. Shoe grip matches fields, which fits half a province. The step-by-step path still hides inside those trees. A later tip from a driver or a walker could narrow it. Absent that, the map keeps several lines in play. Example 2. The final call. If a phone sat with her in earlier years, a line of top-ups and handset changes would show a life in Barcelona. If that phone died before 2018 or passed to another person, records stop short. A family member might recall a number. An old contact might share a last text pinned in a chat list. If someone steps forward with a SIM number, a lawful check might add a timestamp to our window. Until then, we hold the window as it stands. Example 3. Memory in rooms. A flatmate from 2014 remembers a quiet woman who rolled sleeves above the forearm in summer. A kitchen manager remembers steady work and neat habits. Memory helps bring color to a record once a name returns. Memory also bends over years. We capture each account with dates and places, then mark it as context. We do not let it stand in for records. A name resets duty. We owe Ainhoa accuracy in the file and patience with what will not move. We owe her family a clear view of rights, options, and timelines. We owe the public a tone free of romance and theory. We keep the farm, the shed, and the last walk in a small circle of facts. We keep the person at the center, not the mystery. If new facts arrive, they will come from places people live. A parish list. A landlord ledger in a box under a counter. A phone number someone kept on a scrap of paper. A driver who remembers a stop near a field in a hot week. Each piece meets the file on a calm day, gets weighed, and either joins the record or goes back to the street where it came from. Some work belongs to future seasons. A plate on the grave. A visit by a brother who wants to stand at the row where a number sat for years. A memorial in a city where she built a life. A small service in a room where friends cooked and sang after shifts. The work inside our office will not plan those moments. We can stand aside and hold a door when asked. I walk one more time through the file. Scene photos. Logs. Lab notes. Chain of custody scans. The identity sheet with her name in print at the top. The packet we sent to family. The call schedule. The plan for weekly updates. The press line approved by the family. The case now sits on a shelf for named persons with open questions. It will not slip behind new files. The schedule keeps it in reach. A final page in my notebook lists two tasks that wait for a later call. 1. Check if any rural camera projects added coverage near the lane after 2018. 2. Ask a transport planner if a small shift in route in summer 2018 would place a drop point closer to the farm. Both ideas sit cleanly inside rules. Both sit behind family needs and formal steps. Work moves when time and people allow. This chapter holds space for uncertainty without drama. A woman lived, worked, and moved through a city. In 1 week in 2018, she reached a rural yard. Years later, Prince crossed a border and returned her name. Many lines now converge on dignity. A few lines still run into dark. We can live with dark when the name shines.